Morning. Today's daf in Psachim Samach Hey. We're in Samach Dalmud Beis. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. We're at the two dots. We're starting at the section of Kohen HaKarov Beis on Mizbeach. We are describing over here at the end of the fifth parak of Psachim the basic description of the Karm Pesach, the actual bringing of the Karm Pesach in the afternoon. Mishnah in yesterday's daf gave a beautiful description of the Havasa Karban, the bringing of the Karban Pesach that's done by Klal Yisrael, done in three groups, and the Mishnah gave a number of details regarding this particular event. Yesterday's daf, at the end of yesterday's daf, we covered some significant topics. The Gemara briefly described yesterday, Malam Vikosh Ve'im Moridin, you have to go up in Kedusha, you cannot go down in Kedusha. Although the Gemara didn't end up using that concept, but that's a concept. The Gemara also yesterday discussed Rav Amhadras Melech. That's why you had lines of Kohanim, rows of Kohanim that were delivering the blood. And the Gemara also brought up the concept of Ein Ma'avir and Ala Mitzvos. When the Kohen's standing in line, in terms of passing the blood, so first you pass the blood that has, first you pass the bowls that have blood in it, because that's a mitzvah, because that's headed in route to the Mizbeach, and then only afterwards do you pass the empty bowl in the other direction. That's a Hechsher mitzvah, obviously you need to do that as well, but that's not considered a mitzvah per se. Good, so that was the Gemara yesterday highlighting some very major concepts that come up in the course of yesterday's daf. We're continuing now in the Gemara. Kohen HaKarov Eitz HaMizbeach. Now the last Kohen in line who's standing right next to the Mizbeach is going to be throwing the blood in the Mizbeach. Mantana Pesach Mizrika, the Karban Pesach is done Mizrika. Now in terms of the Zrika Sadam, so this is an important, critical feature of every Karban, where the blood is going to be sprinkled onto the Mizbeach. Sometimes it's going to be done Ayidei Zrika, sometimes it's going to be done Ayidei Shficha, sometimes sprinkling, sometimes pouring, and actually in other times by Karban Chatzis it's going to be simple in application. You're going to be placing it on the corners of the Mizbeach, so not all bloods are placed the same. And also just another general point to make, and that is that how many corners are you going to be hitting by Karban Chatzis, all four corners, by Karban Ola, by Karban Shlamim, two corners in the opposite ends, and by the Karban Pesach, this is all, by the way, the fifth parak of Zvachim, and by the Karban Pesach, it's going to be only one corner. You only have to hit one corner of the Mizbeach with the blood of the Karban Pesach. In a moment, we're going to learn it has to have a yesod, it has to be a corner that has a base in it. The base runs around the Mizbeach. If you remember your Mishnayos and Midos, so there is not a base running around the entirety of the Mizbeach. There is a base running around primarily the north and west side of the Mizbeach. There is a small encroachment of the Yesod, of the foundation, that goes into the east and goes into the south. But for the most part, the east and the south do not have Yesod, do not have this foundation that sticks out, only in the north and the west. So, as we're going to see in just a moment, the Karban Pesach only needs one application, and the Gemara's description over here is first of all, how is it done? Is it done b'shvicha or is it done b'zrika? And number two, where is it done? So we're going to really discuss more how it's done. So Mantana Pesach b'zrika, the Karban Pesach is done b'zrika. The Gemara wants to know how do we know that it's to be done with a throwing motion? So Amar Chista Rav Yose Aglilihi. So it's the opinion of Rav Yose Aglili, the Tanya, Gemara quotes a braisa. Rav Yose Aglili Omer, Es damam tizrok al mizbech ve'es chalbam taktir. So you're going to be throwing the bloods. The pasuk over here is referencing a bechor, and it says bloods, it says it in the plural, and clearly over here the verb that's used is zrika. It has to be thrown. So, alam mizbeach ve'es chalbam taktir, and you're going to also be burning the chel of dam alo namar elo damam. So, right away, the Braisa picks up on the fact that it does not say damo, which would mean that we're only talking about the blood of the bechor, but rather damam, multiple bloods. Chabolo namar elo chalbam. Limit al bechor meister pesach, shein te'unim mat and damim v'imurim legabe mizbeach. What is being taught over here is that regarding bechor, meister, and karban pesach, now, what these three have in common is that they only have one application of blood. It's matan echad. It's only one delivery of blood that goes up onto the Mizbeach. Right? Again, as per the Mishnayos in the fifth parak of Zevachim. So, when it comes to Bechor and Maaser Behema and Pesach, So since it has one application of bashe into an aman damin ve'imurim legabe mizbeach. And now what we're also learning over here, that's done through a zrika. Minalan, continuing in the Gemara, minalan detun in yesod. Okay, great. But how do I know that it has to go onto the side of the mizbeach that has a foundation? So as we already described, the foundation of the mizbeach is really running along the north and the west western side of the mizbeach. How do I know that this one application has to go on that side? So Amar Rav Elazar Asya Zrika, Zrika Me'ola. So we learn it out based on Igzera Shava. Ksiv Hachim Estamam Tizrok Al Mizbech. Ksiv Hasam. And it says over there, regarding the Karban Ola, Vizarku B'nei Aaron HaKohanim Estam Al Mizbech Saviv. Good. So we have a pasuk that uses the word Zrika on both occasions. And the pasuk, when it comes to the Karban Ola, so there it says Yesod. Now, the truth of the matter is, it doesn't say the word Yesod. All we know is that we have a connection between Karban Pesach and the Karban Ola. Really, the truth of the matter is more accurately, it's the Bechor and the Karban Ola, but as we just learned out, the Pesukim by the Bechor also include Maaser Behema, also include Karban Pesach as well. It says Damam. So anyway, so we have a connection between the Karban Pesach and the Ola. The Gemara says, okay, that's great. Ma Ola Tuna Yesod, Af Pesach Nami Tuna Yesod. Just like the Karban Ola requires a Yesod, so too the Karban Pesach requires a Yesod. But then just one more question that we got to cover is now we are on the top of Samachemet Aleph. V'olu gufa minalan. Okay, that's great, but how do I know the Karban Ola itself is going to have to go onto the Yesod? In the Pasuk that was just cited, we don't have any real evidence that that's the case. Samakro, the Pasuk says, Yesod Mizbech Ola. So this happens to be regarding one of the Chataos. Rashi over here writes, is talking about the Chatos of Anasi, but the Pasuk says, El Yesod Mizbech HaOla. So here we have a clear indication that it has to be the Yesod, Mizbech HaOla, in the same place where the Karban Ola is brought. But anyway, it's a clear reference over here that the Pasuk regarding Ola is clearly to be done in the same place as the Yesod. Ama Ola Tuna Yesod. Meaning the Torah makes it clear that the Ola requires the Yesod. So once we've established that, once the Torah established that, so then it's very, very simple to then just move it over to the Karban Pesach where we have a Gzera Shava. Good. Yatza Kasri Shona. We just got done, clarifying that the Karban Pesach, it's one application. It's through Zrika and it's on the side of the Mizbech that has a Yesod that has a foundation, meaning either on the north side or on the west side. Yatza Kasri Shona, the first group goes out. Tana. Now, if you recall, the Mishnah told us that there were three groups that went into the Azara in order to do the Karban Pesach. The Jewish people would come en masse, but in terms of division, they would be divided amongst three groups. And so the first group, second group, and then the third group, we note in the Mishnah that the third group would be really small. Most people would try to make it their business to participate either in the first or the second group. And so there wasn't a lot of people in the third group. But now, the Gemara is going to quote a Bryce. So the Bryce has got some choice words for the people participating in that third group. Yatzakas Rishon v'chulei. So Tana, he nikres kasatzlanis. The Bryce says that this third group is called the lazy group. Okay, people who didn't make it their business to be there early, to get a good seat, right? I say figuratively. But rather, basically, just, you know, we're a little bit more relaxed about it. And this is the kind of thing that you're not supposed to be relaxed about. It's a mitzvah. Right, obviously a really significant mitzvah. And so you should be there on time, if not early. So be participating in that third group. So that's Kasas Lanis. Now the Gemara says, now wait one second. Mahalo Sagi Delav Hachi, Mahava Lameven. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. There has to be a third group. What does that mean? That the third group is a lazy group. We already established in yesterday's daf, we have Psukim, Kahal, Adas, Yisrael. We have a drasha that there needs to be a third group. Somebody's got to participate in the third group. There has to be a third group. So the Gemara's answer, it's going to be really, really interesting. The Gemara's answer is going to be, yes, there needs to be a third group, but you shouldn't be part of that third group. So Afilo Hachi, Gemara says exactly that. Okay, good. So you should be a Zariz, meaning, yes, there needs to be a third group. But to the best of your ability, you shouldn't participate in that third group. Now, of groups to participate in this world that you shouldn't be a part of, this is not one of the worst of them. Meaning, okay, you're still involved in the mitzvah of Karban Pesach, but, if you wanna be mocked, you should be mocked. The Gemara over here speaks about, the midah of being a zaris. You should here be a little bit, right? Not overly, but you should be a little bit aggressive, and you should and you should be a little bit excited to do the mitzvah. Kedetanya. The Gemara over here quotes the Brisa, Rabbi Amar, Yefshar La'olam below both and below Bursi. So Rabbi says, look, the world is in need of both perfume and also tanners as well. And so Asher Mishum Nasa Basam, I'm sorry, Bosem, somebody who is selling perfume, so he's good. He's in a good position. Oilo Mishu Umnaso Bursi, but the one who is a, who's a tanner, who's involved in leather making, so it smells awful in the processing of the leather. And so, okay, in other words, I need both, but somebody who is in one business is fortunate than the other. The Avshal Olam below Zacharim of Olam Nekevos, the world that needs males, needs females. Asher Misha Banav Zacharim, Oilo Misha Banav Nekevos. And again, fortunate is somebody who has males, and it's unfortunate to have females. Gemara over here, probably detailing that back in the day, the Zacharim were the ones that were supporting, they were the ones who were providing the income in, so therefore they are a source of revenue. The Nekevos, on the other hand, back in the day, so they were the ones who were taken care of. So over here, if you wanted streams of revenue, so Zacharim would be better. Okay, so the Gemara says the same thing over here. The comparison between this Brisa and Rebbe's comment about the professions that a person's fortunate to be in and the kind of children that a person's going to have. So it's really, it's not perfectly comparable with our discussion over here. Because our discussion over here is talking about something that's perfectly within your control. Meaning you can get there early. It's not ashrei, it's not fortunate for somebody to get into the first group or the second group. It's a, you get there early in order to get be a first group, second group. In terms of occupation, in terms of children, yes, you can have some control in it. The Gemara Nida talks about how there is some control for gender selection, but the truth of the matter is that, and occupation as well, a lot of it's mazel, a lot of it is, and even the language that Rebbe uses, ashrei. Ashrei means fortunate, right? A lot of it depends on mazel. So the analogy is not perfect over here, but still, the idea, however, carries over pretty well. And that is, look, there's going to be tanners in this world. There's going to be a third group in amongst the people who are bringing the Karban Pesach. And if you could try, which you can, so don't participate in that third group. Kamaaseh b'chol. Okay. We are now talking about the rinsing of the courtyard. So after the groups come in, so it sounds like for the mission between each group, not perfectly clear, but it doesn't matter. The point is that when Erev Pesach coincided with Shabbos, so one of the things that they would do in the Beis HaMikdash is that they would rinse the floor of the Azara. Now we already gave a brief description of kind of what it was like. So they had water running through the Azara, and it drained out. And what they would do is they would stop up the drain in order to basically flood the Azara, and then they would open the drains, and that would take the water with all the schmutz out of the Azara. Good. So kamaseh b'chol, and they would do this on Shabbos. They would do this during the week, meaning whether Erev Pesach fell out during the week or whether it fell on the Shabbos. This is the way they would conduct themselves. And the Mishnah says shelo b'ratzon chachamim. Right, a Tana in particular was really unhappy with this behavior. He felt that it was a violation of Shabbos to rinse out the floor of the courtyard. And the Gemara wants to know, Shalom Barasan Man, who is the Tana who took exception to this approach? I'm Rav Chista Shalom Barasan Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara says the Tana Rabbi Eliezer is most unhappy with this approach. Di Rabbanan Hamri Shvosu. Now, according to the Chachamim, it is an Isser de Rabbanim Ein Shvos B'Mikdash. And if all we're looking at is just an Issa de Rabban, and we're talking about the Beis HaMikdash, so generally speaking, there's no application of an Issa de Rabban that occurs in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, as we have gone over numerous times, that's not an absolute. There are Issa de Rabban that apply in the Beis HaMikdash. See the Gemara at the end of Erevin for a number of rabbinic legislations that apply in the Beis HaMikdash. But for the most part, however, a lot of the Gzirah de Rabbanans are waived in the Beis HaMikdash. And so Rabbi Eliezer, who is of the position that this would be an Issa d'Oraisa, so he would obviously object to it because we're no longer talking about just rabbinic legislation. We're talking about something that, according to Rabbi Eliezer, is an Issa Doraisa. What is an Issa Doraisa? What about rinsing the floor is an Issa Doraisa? The Gemara goes on to highlight, Mahi Ditanya. Gemara quotes the following Braisa, Echad Acholev, Veha Mechabet, Veha Megabein, Veha Mechabet, Veha Merabet, Varod Dechalos Devash. The Braisa over here is describing six different activities. And really, in terms of organizing the Braisa, what we want to do is we want to break it up three and three. The first three activities, cholev, that's milking an animal, and mechabetz, that's curdling the milk, and megabin, that's making cheese. So if you make kegrogris, the amount equivalent of in volume of a fig, so one is going to be in violation of an Issa Torah. Now what we're going to do now is that we're going to take the first three and we're going to put that aside, meaning that's agreed to by everybody, right? Everyone's in agreement that that would be an Issa Doraisa. These are all malachos. You can see Rashi over here in terms of identifying what exactly the av malachos of them are, but the first three are definitely avos malachos, or I should say better, a tolada of an av malach, and it would be Issa Doraisa. Good. And then the Mishnah, and then the Braisa goes over three different activities. Mechabit, merabit, rod de chalos devash. Mechabit, sweeping the floor. Merabit. Merabit, back in the day, with their dirt floor, so what they would do is they would sprinkle water on top of the floor, and that would keep the dirt down. Okay, so another form of sweeping, an older version of sweeping. And finally, rod de chalos devash, and removing, the honey from the honeycombs. So b'shogig b'shabbos chayiv chatas, and he's a b'yom tov lokas arban. Now, if you do so b'shogig on Shabbos, you're going to be chayiv karmen chatas, and if you do this b'mezid on yantov, you're going to receive makas. Meaning, it's an issur d'oraisa, as we've gone over numerous times. On yantov, there is no issur kares for yantov, and so therefore, you're not chayiv karmen chatas if you do so on yantov. So on yantov, willful violation of yantov only results in makas, not a. It's not a chiv misa. It is just simply a la. But still, short of that, the malachos are the same on Yontif as they are on Shabbos. And so therefore, it would be an Issa Doraisa, both for Shabbos and for Yontif, Div Rebbe Eliezer. That is Shitas Rebbe Eliezer. For Chachamim Omrim, Echadze Vechadze, Einu Ala Mishum Shavos. Now, according to the Chachamim, we're talking about Isurei Derabanan, and not Isurei Doraisa. Now, again, let me just clarify that the Isurei the Rabbanan only going on the latter three, not in the first three. The first three are Isurei Doraisa. It's only on the latter three that the Chachamim are objecting to Rabbi Eliezer, and they say that they're not Isurei Doraisa. They are, but rather Isurei Derabanan. Still Aser, but not on a Doraisa level. As far as the way the Braisa lays out, it is a little bit strange. The Braisa says if one were to do any of the activities unintentionally on Shabbos, you're Chayv Karban Chatos. If you do so intentionally on Yontiv, so you're going to be chayv makos. Why on Shabbos is the Braisa suggest that it's to be done b'shogeg, and on Yontiv it's to be done in Vezid? It doesn't change the status, meaning either way, it's either Nisr D'Raisa or Nisr D'Rabbanan. According to Rabbi Eliezer, Nisr D'Raisa, and according to the Chacham, Nisr D'Rabbanan. So why the Braisa sets it up that on Shabbos it's shogeg and on Yontiv it's Vezid, not perfectly clear. Anyway, but the point is still very simple, that according to Rabbi Eliezer, these activities are Isurei Doraisa, and these latter three, and according to the Chachamim, these latter three activities are an Issur Derabanan. And what the Gemara now is proposing is the idea that according to Rabbi Eliezer, since it's an Issur Doraisa, that's why he objected when the Chachamim behaved this way in the Beis HaMikdash. When flushing out the floor, that is basically analogous, that's the same thing as what the Braisa described as merabates, as basically sprinkling water on the floor. It's a lot more than sprinkling water on the floor, but still, it's basically the same idea. It's using water as a means of cleaning the floor, and so therefore, according to Rabbi Lezer and Sinister Doraisa, that's why I objected to it. But what the Gemara is assuming right now is that if you hold like the Chachamim, that's Sinister Derabanan, so then the Chachamim would not be opposed to it in the Beis HaMikdash, because if it's an Issur D'Rabbanan, and we have the principle of Ein Shavos B'Mikdash, so in the Beis HaMikdash it would be fine. That's what the Gemara is assuming up until now. Rav Ashi Amar, Rav Ashi says, I don't know, I don't think you have to assume that. Afilu Teim Shalom B'Rasim Chachamim. What I could suggest is that even if it's, even according to the Chachamim weren't happy with it. And Rabbi Nasan he, and now, if it's an Issur D'Rabbanan, so why would the Chachamim not be happy? So the Gemara says, because it could very well be that we're subscribing to the rule of Rabbi Nasan. Ditanya, Rabbi Nasan Amar Shvus Tzricha Hitiru, Shvus Shein Tzricha Lo Hitiru. Yes, it's true that in the Beis HaMikdash, Issurei D'Rabbanan were waived, but only things that were absolutely necessary to be done. But if it's shvishi and tzricha, but if we're talking about something that's not absolutely necessary, so over here, rinsing the floor is not necessary. Meaning you don't have to rinse the floor in order to do the avoda. It just, it makes everything look a little bit nicer. But is it a necessity? No, it's not a necessity. And so therefore, according to Rabbi Nassan, it's shvush and it's tzricha. If it's an issur derabbanan that's not absolutely necessary for the avoda, it's not going to be waived and it's not going to be, it's not going to be lifted. And so therefore, it's still going to be enforced over the course of that Shabbos. And it could very well be that the act of rinsing the floor is an issur derabbanan, and yet it's still going to be prohibited because like Rabbi Nassan, it's a shvushen etzricha. Good. So the Gemara says that when the Mishnah says that rinsing the floor, the Chachamim were not happy with it. So the Gemara just proposed two possible ways to understand it. Either it's going according to the Shita Rabbi Eliezer that rinsing the floor is an issur deraisa, or it's going like the Chachamim, it's an issur derabbanan, but it's a shvushen etzricha. Good. That's the that's the Gemara's discussion over here. Happens to be right on another occasion in the Boca Raton Synagogue. So we have an afternoon kolo. We give shirim over there. Anyway, it's very nice. I've been giving lately on the Gemara in Beitza, and this Gemara over here has occupied us now for a long time, because it's clear over here that there are certain activities that one is not allowed to do on Yontif, even though they're involved in Ochel Nefesh. And so, a lengthy discussion, not to be had now, but just raising awareness, a lengthy discussion to be had is that on Yontif cannot do a lot of these activities, even though they involve Ochel Nefesh, notably, milking, making cheese, curdling milk, and just simply removing honey off the honeycomb. So what we're talking about over here are Ochel Nefesh activities. And yet it's clear in the Brisa over here that not every Ochel Nefesh activity is Motar on Yontif. Isn't there a Heter on Yontif to do food preparation? And over here in the Brisa it seems pretty clear that not all food preparations are permitted. So good. So basically we spent a lot of time in the afternoon kolo trying to come to some sort of understanding which of the malachas are permitted, which of the malachas are not permitted, how exactly to draw the line. Okay, good. We just spent a lot of time on this brisa. The brisa comes up also in Shabbos Adihei, which is where we spent a lot of time over there. There's a tosis over there. Anyway, let's go on in the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kos Hayamimale. What they would do is they would, according to Rabbi Yehuda, after everything was done, after all the kabbanas were brought, and like we said in yesterday's Gemara, we're talking about thousands, hundreds of thousands of Karban Pesach that are brought. There's a lot of blood on the floor. And so Rabbi Yehuda says is that before the Kohanim close shop, so one last thing they're going to do, and it's going to be before Shkias HaChama, is they're going to take one bowl full of blood, one cup full of blood off the floor, and sprinkle it onto the Mizbeach. And the Gemara says, and that what did that do exactly? Rabbi Yehuda says it helps. Now, so what the Gemara is going to explain now, for a good amount, whatever, till the top of the next Amud, is what exactly that's going to, what is that doing? How is that helping anything? So Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kosei Mamale. So Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kosei Mamale Midam Ta'arovis. She'im Yishafech Damo Shal Echad Mehem Nimtza Zem Achshiro. So what is this? This is an insurance zrika. Okay, the Gemara doesn't use exactly that terminology, but it's an insurance zrika. Basically, from all the mixed bloods that were on the floor in the Azara, so a Kohen would take a cupful of that blood. And so, because in the event that, let's say, look, there were thousands of bowls that were being sent to the Mizbeach, isn't it possible that one of the bowls spilled on the floor and did not make its way to the Mizbeach? So what you're going to do now with this one cup full of blood is that you are going to capture that spilled blood and you're going to send it to the Mizbeach. And it's an insurance basically to make sure that all bloods arrived and sprinkled on the Mizbeach. Nim says them machshiro. So I'm a lowly Rabbi Yehuda, va'alol niskaba b'kli. So they say to Rabbi Yehuda, there's a lot of considerations over here to take into consideration. This idea of the insurance bowl and how exactly is that going to be effective? So issue number one, says the Gemara. First of all, if the blood went from the neck of the animal, meaning immediately poshchita, and it went directly to the floor, so we learned together back in Zvachim that blood is no longer kosher for Zrika. In order for blood to be kosher for Zrika, it has to be captured in a bowl. So over here, if I have blood on the floor, isn't it at all possible to consider, to take into consideration that the blood went directly from the neck of the animal onto the floor? So the Gemara's answer is, how do you know? So the Gemara says, okay, so we're not saying it definitely went on the floor, but we're just simply saying it's a possibility. And so therefore, at least within that possibility, your insurance sprinkling has done nothing. So Rabbi Huda's response is, I'm with you. In other words, obviously, my insurance bowl is only going to be for the blood that was first collected into a kli and then fell on the floor. How do we know you're right? Meaning, how do I know that all the blood on the floor is collected in the kli? So Kohanim's reason ain't. So the Gemara says, yeah, I'll tell you how I know that, because Kohanim are very careful. So, which obviously prompts the Gemara's next question. Is reason, am I mishtabech? So let me ask you a question. So you're so sure that the Kohanim collected the blood in the bowl. So then, allow me then to ask you, so then if the Kohanim are so careful, so you know what the Kohanim are also careful about, making sure that the blood gets to the Mizbeach. And you're telling me that, that maybe the blood didn't make it to the Mizbeach, and so therefore let's just simply catch a bunch of blood on the floor, collect a whole bunch of blood on the floor and throw it into the Mizbeach because, you know, it might spill on the floor. Didn't you just tell me that there's reason? So the Gemara says, Agaz Ruzasayu da'avdi mishtapech. So the Gemara says, look, because they're so excited, they have such alacrity, they're so quick, so okay, maybe in the rush they're going to spill a little bit. Meaning in terms of the collection of the blood from the carbon into the bowl, the Gemara says that the Kohanim are going to be super careful about. But then in terms of sending the blood over to the Mizbeach, I mean, look, we just spent yesterday describing the fireman ladder and so many Kohanim involved, and you're passing and you're passing and you're passing. And what Rabbi Huda is arguing is, yeah, there could be a spill over there. So the Gemara says, "Va'alo dama tamsis muravo." So the Gemara says, "Okay, but look, let's analyze the blood on the floor. What is that blood? That blood is a collection of both the dama nefesh, meaning when you first shech the animal, the first rush of blood that comes out is what's called dama nefesh. That's what's necessary to be done for the zrika. And then after that, there's what's called dam tamsis, meaning basically the drip of blood that comes out after that." So, and that's not going to be good for the kapara, and that's not going to be good for the zrika. So the Gemara says that, I don't understand, when I'm looking at all this blood on the floor, isn't it a collection of dama nefesh and dama tamsis? Meaning, we don't even know if there's dama nefesh on the floor. Meaning, we think that all the dama nefesh has been sprinkled onto the mizbeach. But if you're suggesting that maybe there's some dama nefesh on the floor, but still mixed in with all this dama tamsis, which is not good for the kapara, so the Gemara's response to that, Rabbi Yehuda litamei, the Gemara says, okay, but Rabbi Yehuda is consistent. Meaning what the Gemara is going to try to argue unsuccessfully is that maybe Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that the Dama Tamsis can be sprinkled. So, how are we going to argue that? Dama Tamsis, Dama Al Yehuda, Tanya, we learned in the Brisa, Dama Tamsis, Bazara. And Rabbi Yehuda Amar Bihi Kares. So in terms of the consumption of blood is Asur. The Torah repeats that point a lot of times. And what kind of blood is usher to drink? So all bloods, really. However, in terms of punishment, there are degrees, there are levels. According to the Tanakhama of the Brice that we just quoted, so if a person were to drink, were to consume the dama nefesh, that's an Isser Karis. If one were to consume dam tamsis, the blood that comes out after that first rush, that initial rush, so it's a law of the Torah, so it's still violating the Torah, but it's not kares. And Rav Yehuda says the dam and tamsis is still going to be an isser of kares. Good. So that's in terms of the isser of consuming of blood. What the Gemara now is doing is making a small leap, well, actually a large leap. And that is that if the consumption of dam tamsis is an isser deraisa that comes with the kares, so what the Gemara is assuming now is that according to Rav Yehuda, it's also good for the dam that is mechaper. And the Gemara basically is going to say that leap was too far. You just simply went too far. The Ha'amar Rebbe Al-Azhar, Mode Rebbe Yehuda Linyan Kapara, Sheinu Mechaper. So Rebbe Al-Azhar says that no. Rebbe Yehuda, who does put Dam Tamsis on the same level as Dama Nefesh, that's only in terms of Yisurim. But in terms of Kapara, it's not going to be providing a Kapara Sheinu Mechaper Sheinemar. The Pasuk says, Ki Adam Hu Benefesh Yechaper. So only the dam nefesh is a mechaper. Dam shein nefesh yotze bo mechaper. Dam shein nefesh yotze bo eno mechaper. So the Gemara just simply says it's not going to be a mechaper, the dam nefesh. sorry, the Dama Tamsis, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, okay, so that's not it. So again, let's reset the question. The question now is that on the floor of the Azara, I have a collection of Dama Nefesh and Dama Tamsis, and I'm picking up a bowl of the blood, and obviously I don't know which blood is what, and we're going to sprinkle on the Mizbech, and this is Rabbi Yehuda's insurance policy, his insurance bowl, and the Gemara is basically trying to figure out how is it all going to help, right? Let's list the problems. A, we don't even know if there's any Dama Nefesh on the floor, right? We think that the Kohanim took all the Dama Nefesh and sprinkled on the Mizbech as they were supposed to. B, you don't know if you're, even if there is some Dama Nefesh on the floor, how do I know it was collected in a bowl? Maybe it went directly from the neck of the animal onto the floor. C, even if it was the blood that was collected in the bowl and then went on the floor, there's also a mixture of other bloods in there that are not going to be good for kapara, meaning the blood on the floor right now is a collection of Dama Nefesh and Dama Tamsis, and most probably it's a lot more Dama Tamsis than Dama Nefesh. Okay, so really, when presenting the problems one after another, it is still really difficult to understand what Rav Yehuda is accomplishing by taking that one bowl of blood from the floor and putting on the Mizbech. It's an insurance policy. But the Gemara says, I don't understand how the insurance policy even works. So Ella, so the Gemara says, okay. So Ella Rav Yehuda, Tamei Dama, In Dama Vatal Dam. So the Gemara says, okay, but what we have to introduce over here, and hopefully you already saw this coming, meaning this is the Shita of Rav Yehuda throughout Shas, and that is Min Bimino Eino Batal. That if I have similar items that are mixed together, so once they are of a min echad, once they are basically categorized as one species, so then there's never going to be bittul. Dam tamsis, dam kapara. Even if there is significantly more dam tamsis than dam kapara, nevertheless, it all falls under the category of dam, and so therefore there's no bittul. And therefore, according to Shita's Rebbe Yehuda, so min bimino in a bittul, there's never going to be bittul. So as long as I collect just a drop of the dam kapara in that bowl, so that is still going to have its identity retain its status, and therefore it's going to be working as a means of kapara. Okay, so this is all how it would work according to the Shita of Rebbe Yehuda. Tanya, Gemara quotes a brisa, Amar lehem Rebbe Yehuda l'chachamim l'divreichem, lama poking in a zazara. So the the Gemara, this is now another section of the brisa that we just quoted. So why are they plugging the courtyard? Meaning, for Rav Yehuda, the plugging of the courtyard and allowing all the blood to collect on the floor of the Azara, we now know why. It's so that at the end of the day, or before the day comes to an end, so you're going to have your insurance policy. You're going to take a bowl of that blood and throw it onto the Mizbeach. But according to the Chachamim, who agree that the Azara is going to get plugged up, but what's the point? Meaning they're not going to use this insurance policy, so Lama Pokekin es Azara, so Amar lo Shevach Hulav Ne Aaron. So the Chachamim say, look, it's a Shevach, meaning it's nice to have all the blood on the floor. Okay, now obviously beauty is in the eye of the beholder, but over here as far as the Kohanim and doing the Avoda, where the key critical component of the Avoda is the Dam, so having a lot of Dam around, so that's a good thing. And the Gemara over here gives a description. Sheyelchu ad arkav asem bedam. So they would be in blood up to their knees. Okay, the Gemara over here means it literally, maybe not super literally, but certainly it's going to become pretty clear in the Gemara that the Gemara here over here meant it literally. But the idea over here is that shevach. Yeah, in other words, we're not going to be collecting any of the blood afterwards and sprinkling it to the mizbech, but still. It's a good look for the Kohanim. Okay. Now the Gemara over here, as the Gemara does, the Gemara says, look, it's a good look for the Kohanim, but aren't there halachic problems? Let's say, for example, now you have all this blood on the floor, the Kohanim stepping in the blood, isn't that now serving as a chatzitza between the foot and the floor? And again, going back to our Zvachim Gemaras, second paragraph of Zvachim, so the Gemara over there says that that there can be no chatzitza whatsoever between the foot of the Kohen and the floor. So the Gemara says, lachu ve'no chotzitza. The Gemara says, okay, it's not a chatzitza. It's moist. It's wet. Okay, the Gemara here quotes a braisa. We saw this back in Nida. This was discussed extensively over there. So when I have these kinds of liquids that could congeal and could become a solid, so when they're in liquid state, so they're not a chatzitza, when they're in solid state, they are going to be a chatzitza. Good. So the Gemara says, so that's not a problem whatsoever. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the Kohanim's clothing are going to become dirty. And the Gemara quotes a brisa. How you begadav mitushtashim ve'avad? A Kohen is going with clothing that is dirty, and he does the avoda so psula. So over here, the brisa right doesn't mince a word. The brisa says that the avoda is simply no good. Now it's funny. There's dirty, and then there's dirty, right? You can argue that dirt over here just simply means something that has nothing to do with the blood and the avoda. It's interesting. The Gemara over here is assuming that the blood from the avoda also constitutes metush tashim. It also constitutes dirty. It's hard to imagine. The Kohen's going to be doing the avoda that obviously is heavily involved in blood and keep his clothing clean. Okay. So, but still, it's clearly a value and a really important value. Meaning the brisa we just quoted says that if the Kohen's clothing is dirty, so then the avoda is going to be psula. So the Gemara says, okay, so maybe what they're going to do is that as they're walking through the Azara and they're knee deep in blood, they're going to be lifting up their garments. At times the Gemara says, yeah, but that's not good. Midovad. Midokim midaso. Shalo yachsar velo yosir. So the Gemara says that it can't be the clothing has to be fit. The clothing can't go down too long. Clothing can't be too high up. In other words, and remember back in Midos, we talked about there was a room in the Beis HaMikdash for tailoring. Anyway, the Kohen had to be fitting. And if it's properly fitting clothing, you can't lift it up. It's no longer considered properly fitting. So the Gemara's response is, Ba'alacha Sevarim Lekevis. So the Gemara says, okay, well, maybe over here, that the only thing that the Kohen can do, while being knee deep in blood, is only bringing the limbs up the ramp. The Lav Avodihi, which is not considered an Avodah. Maybe that's the only thing that the Brisa over here is detailing. The Gemara says, "Avalo v'hamid debay kohen avodi detanya v'ikri v'kohen is a kol ham is becha zu olachas evarim lekevesh." So the Gemara says, "Okay, but first of all, just bringing the limbs up the ramp that is considered avoda. How do I know that? Because it can only be done by a kohen. Since it can only be done by a kohen, therefore it's an avoda." Right, going back to yesterday's Gemara, by the way, that kind of forces us to rethink Shechita. Meaning Shechita can be done by a non-Kohen. Is Shechita an Avoda? Absolutely. Well, Shechita can be done by a non-Kohen. Okay, so yesterday's Gemara really, seems to be a bit of a challenge to this idea. But nevertheless, over here, the Gemara says that since the Holachas Averim, the taking the limbs up the ramp, it has to be done by a Kohen. So therefore, by definition, it's an Avoda. So the Gemara says, okay, ela b'holachas etzim l'maracha, putting wood on the mizbeach. Okay, fueling the mizbeach. So obviously it's necessary, but the Gemara says that's not avoda. And so maybe the Kohanim that are knee deep in blood are only doing this activity to lav avodi. It's not avoda. So the Gemara says b'holachas erim l'kavus b'holachas dam mia. So hechi azli. So the Gemara says, okay, that's great. So you've identified one activity in the Beis HaMikdash that's not avoda. The Gemara says, when all said and done, I still don't understand. Heche azlei. Like, how the Kohanim walking around doing anything else which is an avoda. So the Gemara says, Demaske Aitztaba. So the Gemara says, there were platforms built into the Beis HaMikdash. The Azara had platforms. Now, platforms over here, so a picture would be worth 1,000 words, more than 1,000 words. So I don't exactly understand fully how these platforms work. Rashi over here, however, writes, right, it's a short Rashi. It's the Boshal Binyan Hayu, Sham of Are Hain Karitzpa. Yeah, I figured Rashi would write something along those lines. Rashi says they were built into the floor, they're part and parcel of the floor. Yeah, right, Rashi has to write that because if we're talking about any kind of platforms that the Kohanim are walking on, so then we're back to square one, meaning the Kohanim's feet have to be on the floor of the Azara. Right, that started the whole discussion. Right, that was the first question the Gemara asked. So the Gemara now his answer is, there's some sort of platforms over there. Platforms? Isn't that a chatzitza? That's why Rashi writes over here. Yeah, they're built into the floor, the part and parcel of the floor. Okay, again, not perfectly sure what I'm describing over here. If I saw it, it'd probably be a lot easier for me to describe. But anyway, they built in some sort of apparatus into the walls of the Azara so that, on one hand, there's a lot of blood that is collected in the Azara on Erev Pesach, and on the other hand, the Kohanim would be walking above the blood. Okay. Elu ve'elu. They're both true. Ketzah Tola Mavshitin, the Gemara over here, talks about the flaying of the Karban Pesach, right? The Mishnah give a description about putting them on the hooks, having sticks, using arms, basically, as a way of holding up the Karban Pesach. The Gemara over here just has a couple of quick comments. Karva Otsias Emurav, you tear open the cavity, the chest of the animal. You remove the imurim. That's the parts that are going to go up onto the mizbech. We just described kidneys being two of those parts. Nasnam bemegis vihiktiram. You put them in the bowl and then you burn them. So atuhu gufe hava mekatelahu. Now Rashi over here has a little bit of problem in terms of the girsa of the Gemara, but basically the way Rashi understands it is that look, who's doing the flaying of the animal. The Gemara is assuming right now it's not the Kohen that's doing the flaying of the animal, right? The Kohen is involved in the Avoda. The flaying of the animal is not an Avoda. You don't need a Kohen to do so. But then the Mishnah describes that after he would flay, he, right, same pronoun, he would put them in a bowl and he would burn them. So what the Gemara is assuming is that if our non-Kohen is doing the flaying, so is the same non-Kohen also going to be doing the burning? The burning clearly is an Avoda. So Ema li haktiran agam mizbech. So the Gemara says, fine. So a small edit over here. And basically, it's not the flayer is going to be doing the haktara. He can't be doing the haktara. We're assuming the flayer is the Yisrael. It means that the Kohen is going to be doing the haktara. You're going to give it over to the Kohen. Okay, that's all it means. Yatza kasrishona. The first group goes out. Tana, we learned in a brisa called Echa ve'Echa Nosim Pisco Bi'oro Umavshal La'achorav. Now, in terms of bringing the Karban Pesach back to their homes, the truth of the matter is that if in the Mishnah we described how if Erev Pesach falls out on a Shabbos, so they're not going to go back to their houses. And I say their houses, by the way, I mean whatever houses they rent in Yerushalayim, right? Because everyone has to remain in Yerushalayim. The Karban Pesach is a shlamim, can only be eaten within the walls of Yerushalayim. So I say back home, I just simply mean wherever they're, wherever either they own or they rent in Yerushalayim. So over here, the Bryce is describing, basically how would they carry their meat back home, right? The carbon was shechted, the animal was flayed, the imurim were taken out and put onto the mizbech. And now, obviously, the rest of the animal they're going to bring home to roast in order to eat the Karban Pesach that night. So, how would they bring it home? So, call Echa ve'Echa Nos and Pischo Ba'oro. So the Gemara over here says, look, it's really useful. You take the hides, you take all the meat, you put it into the hide, or mashallah achor, and basically what you have now is you have a knapsack made from the hide of your Karban Pesach, and you put it on your back. Amar Avilish Taya, Tayos. And Ravilish says that everyone over there looks like merchants, right? Rashi describes, Sochrim Yishmaelim, who is that? They look like Arab merchants. Okay, not perfectly clear exactly what we're adding with this description over here. They look like Arab merchants. That's a good thing. It's a bad thing. It is. Okay, that's just simply a description. Hajalach Taminishcha. That's the end of our fifth parak of the Masechta. Okay, seemed pretty quick, but already we're done with the fifth parak. We'll stop over here tomorrow. We'll start anew with the beginning of the sixth parak of the Masechta. Let's quickly recap our morning. First topic of discussion that we had this morning was, how do I know that the Karban Pesach is going to require a one blood application done through Zrika on the side of the Mizbech that has the Yesod? So the Gemara has drashas that got us to that point in time. Next topic of discussion in today's daf was the third group. The third group is the lazy group. The Braisa describes it as a lazy group. If you are, if we have the good fortune of Benhera B'Yameinu, of having a Beis HaMikdash, so we should try to endeavor to be in groups either numbers one or two, and not to be in the third group. That third group is made up of people who just simply were not excited enough to be part of groups one or two. Good? And the Braisa says, look, we need the third group, but it shouldn't be you, right? Much like other occupations in life and other circumstances of life, where, again, for other people, but not for you. The sweeping of the azara or the flushing out of the azara, the chachamim were unhappy with that. Who are the chachamim that are unhappy with that? So the Gemara gave two proposals. Either proposal number one, Rabbi Eliezer, who in general is of the position that that sweeping and rinsing is an isra daraisa and shabbos. You're being mashvegumos. You're leveling the floor. I'm not sure if I made that clear in today's daf. Anyway, according to Rabbi Eliezer, sweeping and rinsing is ashvui gumos, is a leveling of the floor, and the and therefore would constitute an isra daraisa. Also, another thing which I didn't do a good job today is that what's the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim regarding the leveling of the floor? Rabbi Eliezer holds that you are leveling the floor, and therefore it's a toloda of bona, of building, and the Chachamim say you're not leveling the floor. Is it a psik resha? It's not. Is it not a psik resha? Are you for sure going to do it? Are you for sure not going to do it? Anyway, okay, fine. A lot more, right? I just scratched the surface of the Gemara today. If you want to see more on this particular topic of what the machlokus is between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, second Tosos and Samech Hamed Aleph, where he discusses it in more detail. Anyway, so one proposal of the Gemara is that the Shalom Baratzim Chachamim is Shalom Baratzim Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that's an Issa Daraisa. Good. And therefore, Rabbi Eliezer was opposed to it because he felt that by them flushing out the floor of the Azara, that would be an Issa Daraisa, a violation of an Issa Daraisa. The other possibility is that that the Shalom Baratzim Chachamim just simply means that even those who oppose Rabbi Eliezer's viewpoint, they're still unhappy. Why are they still unhappy with this action? Because it is not absolutely necessary to flush out the courtyard. Okay, the insurance bowl. Remember the Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda says that after all said and done, on Erev Pesach and before the sun sets, and there's all this blood on the floor, and they stopped up the Azara so to make sure that there was blood on the floor. So Rabbi Yehuda says now what Cohen would do, he would take a bowl and put it into that blood and sprinkle onto the Mizbech, and that would be our insurance policy. In the event that any blood spilled out from the bowl and didn't make it to the Mizbech, good, now it's there. And what's the idea behind Rav Yehuda? So to make a long story short, min bimino, eno bato. Meaning that as long as there is just simply trace amounts of the dam and nefesh that did in fact spill on the floor, so now by you collecting it, even though it's together with many other bloods, but still there's no bittul, because min bimino, eno bato, according to the shita of Rav Yehuda. According to the Chachamim, who do not have this insurance bowl, so why did they stop up the floor? And the Gemara's answer is because shevachu levnei Aaron, right? It's a good look for bnei Aaron, sheyachu ad orka v'zeim b'dam, that they're basically going to be knee deep in blood. And the Gemara over there has a lot of follow up questions regarding the technicalities of chatzitza and having dirty clothing. And so the Gemara navigated through that discussion. And finally, last thing that we covered in the course of today's daf is the hafshata. The hafshata was done by non-Kohen. The flaying of the animal was done by non-Kohen. Obviously, then, when the Imurim were taken out, given to a Kohen to do the Haktaras Imurim, that is an avoda that has to be done by the Kohanim. And then, as we are now preparing ourselves for the roasting of the Karban Pesach, the meat now is going to be put into a sack and be taken home. What sack is it? It's going to be the hide. In other words, the hide that was flayed now is going to double as a knapsack in order to bring the meat back home. Adkan, we stop over here.